Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
Noise of Carpet explores 1990s indie classics, recently exhumed underground gems, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Tune in if you're a slacker, loser, or creep for an hour of positively nostalgic triggers and some new stuff too on CJSF 90.1 FM or streaming at cjsf.ca.
And welcome back to Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. I'm Robin.
I'm Stella.
And I'm Logan.
And we have been chewing on gender for the last half an hour. And hopefully you're getting some chew on as well. And maybe being able to parse out some of what the complexities are and some of what the context is, you know, from how we understand it and how we actually live out our genders. I think the sort of consensus in the studio here was to talk a little bit in the next bit on how gender plays a role in our relationships and in those dynamics, whether they're, you know, intimate partner dynamics or you know, within our friends and our broader community. Even within our parent and sibling relationships, it feels like a big big piece of the conversation. But who wants to jump in and start us off?
We're doing a standoff right now. 1 second, guys. By all means.
Okay. I'll start it off.
So I guess you guys all know who won there.
Well, you started it off last time, so it's only fair that I start it off this time. So in terms of relationships, I guess we could start with romantic relationships.
Wow, nice. I like where this is going.
Yeah, so for me, I am in a straight relationship right now, and it is still pretty recent, so I'm definitely realizing a lot of things about myself and even my gender throughout this relationship. And I think something that I could start off with is just I think I tried to overcompensate a lot for this perceived power dynamic or some sort of inequality within the relationship that I feel there is, even though it has never been anything but equal. I am still trying to prove myself, and not just to him, but I think to men in general, I have this thing where I'm trying to prove myself. But it can go too far sometimes, and I'm trying to just get a balance right now.
What do you mean by too far? Do you like shoot somebody?
By too far, I just mean I act in a way that is not true to myself or considerate to how he feels sometimes, and it just kind of results in just a weird feeling for both of us when I'm often trying to attack something that isn't there.
I really understand. I feel like with men, like in relationships with men, be it more romantic, be it more platonic, I'm so aware of that gender dynamic, and I feel like I'm constantly kind of waiting for it to finally culminate and finally see the power dimensions that have always been there, and I'm just like trying to, I don't know, I feel like it's as if like this itch of being a woman has like become so hard to not scratch when I'm around a man, because I'm like so vitally aware of how I need to make sure that I'm not performing in this passive way, that I'm not being, you know, too weak or too caring, too kind. Like, I feel like I'm almost limited in how I can act as a person. I feel like this is kind of what you're saying.
Definitely.
Like, with my friends that, you know, are non-binary or are women that don't fall into the man category, I feel like I can be so much more kind and thoughtful. Like, I can do things for them, and I don't feel like I'm, like, kissing their feet. And I feel like with a man, I'm, like, kind of restricted in that sense, if you know what I mean.
No, that's definitely how I feel. Yeah. Like, extremes in one way and the other, just trying to change the historical, like, implications of my gender through this one relationship that I have.
Yeah, it's so true. That's a good way to put it.
That feels like a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
It is a lot of pressure.
I totally get that we want to do that, right? Like, it's like, this is my opportunity to, like, make a difference, right? In how I'm going to show up and, you know, take the bull by the horns, or, you know, really drive this life that I have. And, but holy mackerel, you know, the pressure of having a learn all the lessons in one fail swoop, kind of.
One five-minute conversation to deconstruct.
Feels like a lot of pressure. Yeah. The reality. That I'm trying to really lean into in my own relationship, and, you know, to be transparent, I've been married for 30 years, and so, you know, a very different relationship than Stella has, and so, you know, there's a lot about our relationship that is, you know, standard, and we fall into, you know, specific gender roles and things like that. But there are also gender roles that I'm happy to play out because I don't want to play the other role.
Yeah, that's so fair.
Right? Like, I'm happy to do more of the domestic things, like wash the dishes and do the laundry, if I don't have to fix the car.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. Right? It needs to get done as much as the dishes and the laundry, right? The errors or the tires need air and the oil needs checking and the whatever else things, car things have.
That's where the knowledge stops.
You know? But I don't want to do those things. And so, you know, is it cheating to trade off on those things and hold on to those gender roles that I feel are in the domestic vein because I'm the woman in the relationship? And, you know, like, where do we become okay with that? And where does the negotiation of, you know, how we land on the things that we do within the relationships and how that dynamic plays or doesn't play? And then, you know, does it set us up in a power play or in a hierarchy that feels like we're being taken advantage of, mm-hmm. or we're being unsupported perhaps in our role? Yeah. Whatever that role is that we're playing. And it doesn't matter, because I think both men and women, masculine and feminine, I think we can all feel like the things that we're doing aren't recognized in the ways that we need them to be, right? Because they're personal and they're very individual.
Yeah, and I think that's when, like, when you talk about the car and domesticity, like, the individual kind of gets placed in, like, a broader arena where it's like, you know, what do we want? And I feel like we think of that as very, like, personal and something that is kind of innate to oneself. But then it's like, it's so brought up by this, like, constant, you know, feeling of, like, pushing into, like, one region of want and love for a hobby or, you know, feeling more comfortable doing something. And then it's like, the question I'm always asking myself is, yeah, maybe I don't want to do this, but do I not want to do this because I've been socialized as a woman? And if I realize that, like, do I now at 20 years old try to combat that and try to just force myself to do things that I don't like, which I do a lot just to, like, be like, oh, I'm going to prove to myself that I can, you know, subvert femininity, and I don't want to take up, I don't want to manspread. I feel like it's a bit rude right now, but I'm going to do it. Or, like, you know, to be honest, fixing a car is not that interesting to me, but I'm going to learn all there is to do about cars because I just want to prove to myself that I can, like, subvert it in a way. But I also don't know if that's just, like, a pure to myself notion, or if it, now that I'm realizing, now that I'm talking, I'm kind of like, maybe it's actually just kind of like this whole rejection of womanhood in a sense. And the thing is, how we always talk about how, you know, masculine hobbies are much more valued, or, like, hobbies that are labeled as masculine are just seen as more interesting and cooler, and, you know, you have to be smarter just by society when you look at any hobbies. Is that just, like, kind of going over to that and being like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do that? Or is it kind of like trying to challenge gender roles? I don't know.
Yeah, it is definitely a fine line between figuring out what your intentions actually are when you're performing things outside of your gender role, because mm-hmm. I agree with you. I will try to do things like fixing a car or learning how to do something that is traditionally masculine, because first of all, I am interested in learning something outside of this sphere that I'm really familiar with already.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, aside from that, I do want to prove myself, and it is like coming back to that again, just as a woman feeling like you always need to prove yourself. But aside from that, going off of what Robin was saying a bit more with these more, not feeling guilty for having traditional gender roles or some like leaning into it, but just questioning them a bit. I think it is totally fine to have that separation, but if I'm going to add another element in here, when a child comes into play, like if you have a baby, all of the stuff in the domesticity land is going to be exacerbated by twice, by like three times of all of the work that you need to do. And for a man, you're still fixing the car, you're still mowing the lawn, mm-hmm. and there's no extra added responsibility for care in that way. Yeah.
That's a really good point. And then there's just so much invisible work that happens. Yeah. Where it's like, the thing I found so interesting was like, I don't know, you probably have more to say about this, Robin, because I'm just, you know, reading about it, and you are like, you have a home that you actually live in. I just, I live in my apartment, you know. I take care of my plants, semi. But it's not like a shared space where you see those gender dimensions mm-hmm. live out. But I was reading, and it's like, man's work is like, it's such an interesting thing. It's like what we label as man's work, right, is very much like clear cut, easy to see, and you know, you see like it's been done, you know, when it's finished. Let's say fixing the sink, you know, helping with the car, like what else do you do around here, mowing the lawn, they're just sitting down, you know. But like the work we define as woman's work is very much like this infinite thing.
Abyss.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That you don't even see. You only see when it's not happening a lot of the time. Yeah, an abyss, God. It is an abyss. What do you have, like, what do you think of when we talk about this kind of thing, Robin?
I mean, work is an abyss. There's a never-ending amount of it all the time. I think sometimes it's the ways that we think about work. And I think one of the things that separates, you know, the idea of sort of masculine or men's work versus women's work, right, is women's work is care work. And in those traditional sort of gender roles, right, women are caring for the babies, women are caring for the family, women are caring for the elderly, women are caring for the community, women are caring, you know, and that is sort of an abyss, because that care that we need as human beings is ongoing and never ending. Whereas, you know, to build a house and to, you know, plant a garden and, you know, fix the roof and, you know, plumb the toilet, those are very like they have a time stamp on them, right? Yeah. You can see the ways that that they're. But I think it's also, you know, like the ways that that masculine and feminine energy shows up is also different, and it's hard to. It's hard for me when my energy is very sustaining, right? Like, I'm built to be able to run a marathon.
Built in what way?
Like, you just in terms of like women's stamina, right? Like, we have a lot more ongoing stamina than men do. They're sprinters. They go from here to there and then they nap. We just go and go and go like the energy bunny. And so it's different, right? The ways in which we use energy, therefore the ways in which we engage in relationship and chores and work is different. And when things are different, we tend to want to still look at them as apples and apples when they're not even the same fruit. They may not even be fruit.
Do you mean like... Wait, how do you mean?
Like this idea of sprinting versus marathon running, right? And how we work, right? And when we're looking at the dynamics of how things may look equitable or not equitable, you know, if I can run a marathon, is that equal to someone else running a 200 meter sprint? How do you measure that?
Yeah.
Right? Like, how do you measure those things? And so I think it becomes complex. Our understandings of how we be in relationships sometimes and dance with these dynamics of gender within relationships have a lot to do with the energy that we show up with.
Mm-hmm.
And because we all show up with different kinds of energy, but we still want things to feel equal, right? It's hard to be able to determine how me being able to run a marathon is equal to you being able to sprint 200 meters. Because those are different things, right? And one is not better than the other. But it allows us to do different things in a different time frame. And I think this gets lost this is a bit of a microcosm in terms of the macrocosm of how these differences appear, but I think, you know, it's part of how we can get confused in terms of, like, I'm not getting what I need because it's a gender thing, or, you know, because of my gender, I'm showing up this way and using my energy in a particular way that looks like ABC, and I want yours to look that way too.
I mean, maybe I'm misinterpreting what you say, but I feel like with this whole idea of, like, this socialized gender energy, you know, like, as we grow up, if you grow up being socialized to be a woman, you know, you're forced into this sort of continual care. And when you're socialized, when you're brought up to be socialized as a man, you know, it's very much like you have time off. And I feel like that's why our whole conception of gender is so linked to labor, in the sense of, you know, for like a very more traditional understanding of man, it's very much like a man goes to work and then he is done. And in that sense, like, energy is so linked to labor. So, you know, very much like you have 8 hours, you have 10 hours, you have 12 hours of work, and then you can go home and relax. While a woman is very much, you know, a working woman would go to work, then also go home, and that energy must be sustained, the labor must be sustained. And so in that sense, it's like how women's invisible work genders energy. Like, how the domestic, their an invisible and unvalued labor changes, you know, this stamina that you talk about in that sense. Because, you know, the gendered labor affects when we are even able to rest, you know, and determines that.
Yeah. It's kind of like, do we want to run a marathon, or are we forced to run a marathon sometimes?
Want and forced.
Yeah.
They exist co.
But what do we want? Like, how do we determine what we genuinely want? You know what I mean? Like, that's always a big question.
Yeah.
I feel like whenever we talk about what we really want, it's like, It's just what we've been told that we need to want, that society has like necessitated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a minute, 2.5 minutes to wrap up this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, frame it in some way, get our last word in. what do we want to say about?
Ooh. We just talked about so many different things.
I know. It's been rambling.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I feel like just thinking, I mean, at least for me, like the interesting part about, I feel like what we're all, I mean, what I'm kind of circling around is when I talk about how gender is a historical construction, how it's a societal cultural construction, I kind of tie it back to labor and, you know, how has the material informed these categories? And when we talk about energy, how has that informed like the gender roles that exist? You know, when we talk about domesticity, like these things we think of as roles are very much tied to labor. And that is my 1 minute of sum up for my point. And
I don't know exactly a way to have a concise conclusion to this, but I think it is just very complex. The things that we think we want, the things that we think we need are tied to what we've been told to want and told to need. And it is just kind of a cycle that's hard to get out of, maybe impossible to get out of or disentangle. But talking about it definitely provides a bit of clarity to the differences.
I just want to thank you all for listening and for contributing to the conversation. I said yesterday that, you know, this conversation has happened a few times on Intravenous, but it's always a different conversation because we're bringing our own perspectives to it and, you know, bandying back and forth different ideas. So stay tuned. Democracy Now! Is coming up right now.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi.